All right. So we're looking at Daniel 7, the second half, verses 8 to 28. I considered the horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the others which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume it and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. The first 7 verses that we looked at last week reveal the marred vessel of Adam that is broken into 4 distinct beasts. The fourth beast being the composite beast that is further developed and explained in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. The number 4 represents the whole of humanity, and to make this point clear, the 4 beasts in chapter 7 are associated with the 4 sections of Nebuchadnezzar's statue that he dreamed of, which also represents the whole beastly nature of humanity throughout history. So in both chapter 2 and chapter 7, it's just saying the same thing, but building a little bit on the description. Ecclesiastes 3, 18 and 19, I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of man, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other, yea, they have all one breath. So that a man has no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. This last section of chapter 7 of Daniel explains in prophetic words how the Lord is going to use the church to uproot all these beasts throughout the church, through the church, that must first be judged and be made ready to carry out the work that God has set before them throughout the thousand-year reign and right into the great white throne judgment. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. In Revelation 20, verses 11 and 12, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, which we just read about, the books were open. The books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Daniel 7, verse 8. So I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Nebuchadnezzar's dream identified the beast that mankind is via the statue, and Daniel's dream further identifies the beast and in more detail explains how the beast, the carnal nature of man, is going to be destroyed and made anew. In Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the statue is destroyed by a stone that hits the feet. And in Daniel's dream, the means by which all those empires or nations within us that are going to be rooted up or destroyed is explained with the prophetic dream of Daniel. And of course, we know Jeremiah 18:4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Malachi 4, verse 1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. So that's what's being rooted up, of course, within us, first as the elect, and then the elect are used to be those books that judge the other books, and that just the order that God does things. Daniel is said to yet be considering the horns, meaning he does not truly understand what these horns represent spiritually. However, a physical representation is given to him. The statement, I consider the horns, reminds us that Daniel prophesies not unto himself, but unto those who have been given to read, hear, and keep the sayings of the prophecies that reveal the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Daniel considering the horns, I consider the horns, is another way of saying he was contemplating who can make war with the beast, with the horns of these beasts. And as he was contemplating the power of these horns, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And Revelation 13:4 tells us, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And of course, the answer is Christ. These, Revelation 17, verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, all these horns within us, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Which is just another way of saying, blessed are they who read, hear, and keep the things that are written therein. in Mark 13:13, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, for his words, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And that's all the Lord only can get us to that finish line. And so we're judged, and that makes it easier to comprehend why are we being judged all the time. We die daily, we're constantly examining ourselves, because we know that God's strength is being made perfect through our weakness, and our zealousness comes as a result of identifying those horns that are pushing against us. And as we acknowledge it, the Lord gives us victory over those horns, and we grow and we mature. The three horns that are uprooted represent the judgment that must come upon all flesh and starts with the elect. God's judgment unfolds in the elect's lives as a result of our hope of glory within, who has the power to set us free from sin as he uproots those three horns in our heavens by means of a process of judgment. That's the three horns that we experience within our heavens so that we can learn of his righteousness. The little horn, which comes up and is more stout, represents our own iniquities, our own backslidings and wickedness that will chasten us as we're put through a process of judgment. Our own self-righteousness is the most stout and enduring sin that we must battle every second of our life. And God will use our weakness, our naturally wretched, self-righteous condition to chasten us and judge us day in and day out. And I didn't read it, but there it is, in Romans 7, verse 24, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and a bitter that you have forsaken Jehovah your God, and that my fear is not in you, saith the Lord Jehovah of hosts. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, but we are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade away as a leaf, and our iniquities, our self-righteousness, like the wind, have taken us away. So we're merciful. God is merciful to judge us, to bring us to see that, and to even confess our faults is a gift of God, but to have our hearts softened so that we don't despise the process and recognize this is what the Lord's doing with us, so that we'll be very merciful to the world when we know how much he's extended his mercy to us, and we'll extend it to the world. The basis metal of the statue in Nebuchadnezzar's dream is the fourth part. And the most corrupt compilation of the beast in Daniel 7, chapter 7, is the fourth description. And these thoughts tie into why this fourth horn, there's four horns, or there's more than four, but four in question, is the stout one in relation to the other three. It is so powerful as it represents man's belief in free moral agency, self-righteousness, that God will use to chasten him. Just as Joseph's brothers had to endure for the longest time until they came to see in type and shadow that God, as Joseph had already told them, was sovereign over all, and that all their actions were truly ordained of God, the good and the evil. The future events of Gog and Magog are also ordained of God to show mankind that he has always been sovereign over every beastly thought an action of mankind, and every righteous thought and action that was from him as well. Philippians 3:9, and this is our prayer, to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, the faith of Christ. Genesis 50, verse 20, really ties it all together. And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Isaiah 45, verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Proverbs 16, verse 4, the Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. The description of this little horn, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, is most pronounced in the fourth empire, which is the feet of miry clay mixed with iron of Nebuchadnezzar's statue that is exceeding dreadful and will exact judgment upon all the world. The fourth horn represents the basest part of humanity that wants to control everything and have dominion over all, claiming ourselves to be gods in the temple. That's the self-righteousness. This point becomes very clear at the end of the chapter 7, by the controlling actions of the little horn. Daniel 7, verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And I just want to make a comment about that. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of times. That iniquity will abound because that spirit will abound. The love of many will wax cold, we're told. So we're being told this is what we know will happen. God has set the stage for that spirit to become more and more aggressively evident at the end of the age, but also to strengthen the body of Christ as we come together and to prepare us for the times that we're living in. And we certainly wash each other with the word. We wash away that spirit. We're strengthened after the day's work. We come together, and it's just such a blessing to be reminded of God's sovereignty and how he's working all these things for our good and for the good of all of the world in time. The Lord will bring an end to the man of perdition on the throne of every man's heart. And that process, as we know, begins with the house of God and culminates for God's people in verse 27, when the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, which is the first resurrection when that happens, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Verse 9 and 10, I beheld that the thrones were cast down, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, his throne the fiery flame, his wheels burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. Verse 8, and Daniel speaks about judgment that comes upon the world that only the elect respond to with a sighing and crying attitude spoken of in Ezekiel 9, 4, and Isaiah 57, which says, the humble and contrite heart that God gives to the elect. As God works within our hearts and minds in this age, so that we learn not to despise this judgment that is of God, a judgment that sets the stage for these following verses from 9 to 12, that declare how the church will then be sent out to judge the nations after we have been judged and made ready to do the work of the Lord. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sighing and the cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. In Isaiah 57, verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So it's never changed. God says those who are granted to abase themselves, he will exalt. He works in those quarters. He doesn't work with the proud. He resists the proud. Romans 2, verse 4, or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering as he deals with that pride within us, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Revelation 2, verse 10, fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days, which is just a symbol of our time in this life, in the flesh. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. After God's judgment is complete upon the elect, expressed with this statement, till the thrones were cast down, then the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment white as snow, and hair as head like the pure wool, his throne the fiery flame, his wheels burning fire, which represents the glorified Christ on this earth, and the body of Christ, his wheels burning fire, that will rule nations from afar. And he will judge between many peoples, and will decide concerning strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Micah chapter 4, verse 3. Daniel 7, verse 11 and 12, I beheld, then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Daniel goes back and describes the judgment that he sees upon the elect with these words. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed. And I put here, this is in the aorist tense. In Revelation 6:11, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a season, a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled and given to the burning flame, in other words. Showing clearly that the elect experienced the same fire as the rest of humanity first. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, it will try you. And then the rest of humanity in the lake of fire, the second death. Revelation 20, verses 14, 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The statement as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season in time, speaks of the rest of humanity who, during the thousand-year reign of the saints, had their dominion taken away, because the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Their lives were prolonged for a season in time, and then the time of Gog and Magog unfolds, leading up to the second resurrection, great white throne judgment. The physical death of all the nations with fire that comes down and destroys them is the natural event that precedes the spiritual death of every once old man in the lake of fire. We know this verse, Revelation 20, verses 8 and 9, very familiar. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, which tells us it's the whole world, the whole, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, which shall not be destroyed. The one like the Son of Man, in verse 13, is not Christ, but rather the elect, who are coming with the clouds of heaven. And of course, we are Christ, we are his body, and came to the Ancient of Days, to Christ, and they brought him near before him. The clouds, they brought them near before him. The clouds bring the clouds toward the Ancient of Days, reminding us we are our brother's keeper and that we follow each other as we follow Christ in one another, the clouds enfolding on themselves, like it says in Ezekiel there. Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof is the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. What we are reading of with this verse is that the Father gives Christ and his Christ this reward of rulership, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. And this is what Christ told Peter when he says, we've forsaken everything to follow you. Legitimate question, right? Why are we denying ourselves of all of this time? And this is why. This is what he told them. You will rule. There will be thrones and rulership, glory, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass, and his kingdom, which shall not be destroyed. Isaiah 9, verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. 15-18. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head trouble me. Said that a couple of times, though. And in previous chapters, he says the same thing. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Daniel is now mentioned multiple times, how he was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. As a prophet of God who is desirous to know the things of the Lord, which is a shadow of the long-suffering, persistent, and patient spirit that God must give to the elect in order to understand and hold fast to the mysteries of the kingdom of God, keeping under ourselves in this life and not taking anything for granted. And of course, Daniel's life was predestined, and Ezekiel's life, and every prophet you can name, all lives are, but these lives specifically for our sakes, to give us the incentive and the realization that if Christ can work through these men in this time, he can work through us. He can finish that work. For I tell you, Luke 10, verse 24, that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Revelation 3, verse 11, I come quickly, hold fast that which you have, that no one take your crown. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. James 5, verse 7-11, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, day in, day out, but ultimately his return. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. The Father waits for what he's doing through us and has long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy, which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And indeed he is to us. Just prior to having these things interpreted to Daniel, he says, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. that one of them that stood by who answered Daniel represents how the manifest knowledge of God is made known by the church, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. John's experience described in the book of Revelation shows the end result of the great beasts, which are four kings, shall rise out of the earth, where we read this from chapter 7, verses 13 to 15. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. The elect will take the kingdom, meaning those great beasts, which are four, and four kings, which represent all of humanity, who will be overcome first within ourselves through Christ. And that's what Revelation 7, verses 1 to 12 talks about, our being numbered, our overcoming, as our hope of glory. And then the saints will rule the kingdoms of this world without, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Revelation 3, verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Revelation 3, and that's just a shadow, really, of Joseph when the brothers came and they were there as his dream interpreted, and they could not believe it. His father was incensed that he and his mother would come and bow down and worship before him. Who do you think you are? Revelation 3, 21, verses 22. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Daniel 7, verses 19 to 22, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head and of the other which came up and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And this is, as we'll read, this is the patience and faith of the saints, and why Christ tells us, in your patience, possess your souls, because he knows what opposition is in front of us. The fourth beast is the composite beast that represents all mankind. And this beast was diverse from all the other, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces and snap the residue with his feet. Notice, the parallel representation of this beast is the fourth kingdom of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel 2 that we went over. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. Daniel 7, verse 19. And here's the parallel verse. Daniel 2, verses 40 and 41. And the fourth kingdom, fourth beast, fourth kingdom, shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaks all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas you saw the feet and toes, there's the feet, part of potter's clay and part of iron. The kingdom, and that's definitely the marred clay there, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay. The feet of the statue have a head, that controls him, which is what Daniel 7:20 shows us. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom fell, three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look more stout than his fellows. So you can take the head of that statue and apply it to chapter 7, because it's just talking about the same thing. In the midst of those three horns, there is even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. That horn prevails against the elect, but they will overcome and endure until the end, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Herein lies the patience and faith of the saints being described there. Verses 23 to 25, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom, 10 kings, shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the times and times, and the dividing of times. Herein lies the patience and faith of the saints with these verses that conclude with telling us that the little horn that shall subdue the three kings is going to try the patience and faith of the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. Whatever this changing of times and laws involves, we know that it will be a demonstration of Satan's power, trodening underfoot the elect for a time and times and dividing of times, which is another way of saying 1,260 days or 3.5 years, which is the time of our being witnesses of these things. We are sore pressed, but not overcome, in other words. And we're told, of course, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Luke 21, verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Revelation 11, 2, and the court, which is without the temple, leave without and measure it not. And that's so critical, because if we start measuring that outside court, that's we've fallen into the spirit of being self-righteous again. The beast is on the throne of our hearts, and we're doing what the whole world is doing today, the iron and the clay that are mixed. And one is saying one thing and the other is being legalistic on the other end. We have to steer clear of that. For it has been given unto the nations, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So their purpose is of ordained of God. They're meant to be trodding us underfoot, trying our patience. And that's a blessing, because it's preparing us for the return of Christ. Revelation 2, verse 10, fear not the things which you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 11, verse 3, and I will give unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. You are witnesses of these things. In other words, Luke 24, verse 48, the Lord will strengthen us, and we will, by his grace and mercy, fulfill his will. Revelation 11, 8, and their dead bodies lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. So that's where we fill up what's behind the afflictions of Christ, by lying dead in the street. And that's just another way of saying, acknowledging that it's Christ who's in us doing the work, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verses 26 and 27, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume it and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. But the judgment shall sit reminds us that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and that the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But Christ says the gates of hell won't prevail, and it won't happen. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Brings to mind Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there followed great voices in heaven, and they said, the kingdom of the world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Daniel 7, verse 28. Hitherto is the end of the matter, and as for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Daniel cannot understand what these interpretations mean without the Spirit of God. Even with many of the details being interpreted, his cogitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me. Keeping the matter on his heart, but I kept the matter in my heart, is a shadow of how the elect church start off, not knowing all that we need to know, but are still persuaded and convinced to keep these matters on our hearts, patiently waiting for the Comforter to lead us into all truth. Those words of Daniel were also symbolized by Mary, who is a type of the elect church. And his disciples remember that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, John 2, verse 17, and John 14, verses 25 and 26. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Luke 2, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Today is our day. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day of the Lord, which is the time that God has ordained for the elect to consider all these horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. That's our study for tonight. Thank you all for coming up.